I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Yes! Yes! The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. Be right here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody. Welcome on in. It's Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out. Guess what? Game day, and no better place to be on BYU's game day, Scott, than Utah County, your old stomping grounds. Here we are. Yes, we are at the...
My car would only let me get this far. I could only get to Linden.
It's like a... Yeah. There's like a little thing on it. Just it's kills like you, the engine.
It's a governor.
Come on.
Hello, governor.
Murdoch Hyundai right here in Linden is where we are. Easy enough to find. Just off of the 1600 South exit. And or North, what is it?
1600 North
1600
exit.
North exit.
Yeah,
so
that would be 1600 North in Orem
across
exit.
Across the freeway from the Harley and just on the east side of the freeway. Easy enough to find.
By the Home Depot.
Beautiful location. And by the way, if you're a person who's looking for a car, and maybe you go by a lot of other dealerships and you go, oh, man, they got, like, no inventory. These guys stack to the gills with brand-new Hyundai. So, and Genesis.
Yes.
There's even a one of the electric Hummers
is
out
there. Yeah, you can actually reserve a brand-new fully electric.
Can I
Ionic
reserve a
five?
Man, my heavens. So come down, take a look. We're going to be out here all afternoon. We've got tons of stuff to jump into right off the bat, though, as usual. Before we start talking BYU game day, before we start talking about this weekend in football, let's get into the cut and the top of the show. Let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The show and the cut presented by G2G Bars, preservative-free, amazing protein bars that if you have not tasted them, they're in your refrigerated section of your Associated Foods. It's your Mavericks, Holiday Oil, Costco, anywhere you want to find it. If you have not tried these, give them a shot per Alex and Scott.
Change your life. They're so good.
We know what we're talking about when it comes to the old protein bar. Scott, let's start off here because it looks like the reports are Early reports are that Logan Bonner may be not just out for this game, but maybe out for the rest of the season with a possible injury to his lower leg, foot, something along those lines. Reports right now, I don't know if it's been confirmed totally, but at least those are the things that are floating around online.
If that's the case, like, that's a good or a bad thing? You know?
Tell me the breakdown here.
Well, it could be a good thing in that it kind of rallies everyone around the new guy and, you know, kind of like what happened in the bowl game. And things weren't going very well, you know, so it's and it can kind of be a bad thing because he's a heck of a player and it's kind of goes from bad to worse. You know, you have an incredible year ago and now you're kind of struggling to a point of where you're getting booed by the home fans. Like, that's how you know things are bad, is when the home fans boo you. That's a definite sign there that you're having a tough day. But so, you know, it could be that rallying cry because Utah State's kind of it's a train wreck right now. It's just a hot mess and you know, Provo coming to Provo, and this'll be a jazzed up We're not talking about them right now.
No,
right?
No, but they'll be Jazz fans in the building. But you get
it. Do you think the Jazz players will show up to this game? They show up.
You know, they
Utah
do that
games.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, and totally. When they're new, I love when they're new.
Oh yeah.
And they're on the sideline. They're like, I've been here. I've been a huge look at the state. Look at the stands. Yeah. I've been a huge Brigham Young University Cougar fan for a long time. You're like, yeah, thanks, Kelly Olynyk. You actually hate BYU. You played them you're at Gonzaga.
No, but it's one of those things where. You know, under normal circumstances, BYU's probably going to run away with this game. But when it kind of, everything changes like this, it can be a new, it can be a new kind of thing to bring the team together, create some more resiliency, kind of have a reset in some regards. Because the season will weigh on you when you just kind of go down that path of losing, and you just find more ways to lose more games and just keep going and going. Until something maybe dramatic happens, and if Logan Bonner's out, that's the type of dramatic thing that could kind of change it.
I mean, that's one of the things that I guess we'll have to wait and see if it's totally confirmed. And obviously, it's one of those things that if you're the team, they kind of keep it under their hat until whenever they want to kind of reveal it. But I don't know, somebody let it slip at some point this week, and you're at least seeing the reports that that's the case. Regardless. This is a program. Even if Logan Bonner is healthy, even if it's not Cooper Lagah getting the start, which I think you're probably going to see him getting the start. If that's the case, then you've got yourself a lot. You're not just licking your wounds here. You're kind of trying to redefine yourself and reset. When you said it's kind of a good thing too, there's the part where you go, okay, well now there's not the like waiting around going, well, I guess we feel sorry for us, because you got a guy who comes in who he won a bowl game last year. He's certainly got a lot on his plate, and Utah State certainly got a lot on their plate, and they have a lot of injuries already. So when you have a game like this with a team who just has everything that has just been thrown at them, they got a ton of injuries, and BYU's got injuries, but nothing along these lines, there's this feeling of – and the thing that stinks about this is all people have been talking about is, man, this is going to be the final game of this rivalry for quite some time or for the foreseeable future, so what does that look like? And if it's going into a game like this where Utah State is just like down and out and struggling as badly as they've struggled in the Blake Anderson era, certainly, and probably since that COVID year, then what?
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Then where do you go from here?
Well, you're forgetting something. And that's an important thing. I don't know why this happens. I seriously don't. But it's a thing, and it really does happen. There's something about rivalry games. And is it the rivalry game? You know, the rivalry game is BYU and Utah, right? But this is a rivalry game, and it's a rivalry game because, like, these teams kind of have dueled one another, and recent history, BYU's lost, you know, because BYU's kind of owned this series for the most part, but recently it's kind of meant something. And when you have a rivalry game, all bets are off. Like it just whatever it is, it just, for some reason, the team that's kind of down and out, which is Utah State right now, just finds a way to stay in the game, create kind of doubt or whatever. And I don't know if it's the team that's the better team doesn't take it serious enough, or they get this thing in their head from the coach, man, you can't take these guys lightly, this is a rivalry game, and it just gets pounded in your head all week. And I think coaches actually overcoach that a lot. You know, they put all these negative thoughts in your head, and those are one of those thoughts. You know, you got to respect your, you got to take, you know, BYU's a better team. and they just need and they need to show that they're the better team and think that they're the better team and play like they're the better team. But
well,
rivalry also, games just don't they, for whatever reason, it just doesn't happen.
I was thinking about the nature of a rivalry game, Scott. You tell me if I'm wrong here. And I would be hard pressed for a BYU fan to really go, man, remember fill in the blank that year, that game. I think Utah State fans would probably likely bring up a game or two in certain instances. I think there's like that 93 game when they had broken the, you know, the like something like 18-1 or maybe a 10 game win streak that BYU had. There were a couple times in there, but I just don't. Rivalry games have to have an iconic moment or 10. And I just don't – I haven't seen it in this rivalry, right? Has there been, like, an iconic moment in this one except for BYU quarterbacks being injured quite often by Utah State? Or I think about maybe when Utah State won it in 2010 on that side of the rivalry for them. That meant a lot because they hadn't won it in, you know, in 18 years or whatever.
See, you're speaking of the team that is the dominant team in the rivalry.
I'm speaking from that perspective, you
mean? You're the BYU guy right now. There's really not much of a rivalry.
But
I mean,
BYU
I mean,
and Utah can both. I'm not trying to be. I'm not trying to pull the USC thing and go.
Well, no. You really respect what they're doing up in Logan.
No.
Have you been to Logan?
No.
It's in Idaho.
No. You're not quite there. But you are that person. that's kind of on the other side of
it. What is it then? Because in the rivalry game, it's not just about whether or not it's good or bad.
It's really simple. Here's a rivalry game. They're in Utah. They're another university. BYU's in Utah. That's what it's the close proximity. It's the fact that the two competing schools are in the same neighborhood. Now, there are some places like Ohio State, Michigan, it's a little different. But when Michigan State has a rivalry. Utah, BYU's a rivalry. Utah State's not a rivalry because they don't play each other. But when you play each other and you live in the same state, that constitutes a rivalry. Okay, it just does. Arizona State, USC, UCLA,
Weber
Cal
State,
Stanford.
Weber State, BYU. No, just because they're in the same state doesn't mean anything.
Okay, if you go down two classifications, then it's not
it's
a rival.
One.
So whatever it is. Because you've got like SUU, you have Southern Tech University. That should be Southwestern Utah. That's what it
is. Southwestern like, Utah? No, Utah Tech is dope, man.
It's in Provo. It sounds like
it's because you're used to you're used to the UVU.
Right. It's yeah,
but, you're used to the old UVU.
Or maybe it's just like I don't know. It's like up in Salt Lake somewhere. It's off the old I-215 on the west side.
It's like the Davis Technology College. They're gonna have a football team soon.
Whatever.
Why not?
I don't know.
Okay. Let me roll through because I have both. This is a rivalry, Scott. Somebody pointed out to me. They go, because both of them have dueling ice creams. And I thought, I don't know if that's a good thing or if that's a eye roll type of situation. And then I started to look, and you know what? We've got to throw this out here. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look up all of the flavors from both Aggie ice cream and BYU. And I'm going to see which ones you think would.
I know there's the creamery, but this is the, like Utah State should own this. They really should because they're
it's the ag school.
It's right. I mean, and it's, you know, it's up in Logan. There's a lot of cows up there, right?
You're sounding like all the BYU fans I saw on Twitter this week.
I'm just saying they should have better ice cream. It's like you got the cheese, you got the cows.
Hey, I heard their
I
heard their lead
the
cow
climate.
Went out this week. I heard their conference winning cow went out this week.
The bell cow
went out this week. with an infected hoof. You don't want to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I get hoof and mouth.
Gonna have to put them down.
That'd be a good flavor of ice cream.
Gross.
Right there. Got the old hoof and mouth. Hoof and mouth ice cream.
No, you cannot have that as a flavor. Okay. All right. This is a Thursday game. Trying to convince people to get excited for Thursday game. I get more excited about these games because they're midweek. This game is played as a midweek game or as a Friday game. Having it as a Thursday game. As a player, does it matter to you when it's this early in the week?
Here's
does it
matters.
Make a difference to you?
Yes, this is what matters. It's a nationally televised game, and no one else is playing.
You're the only
so
game
everybody,
in town.
You're going to have a lot of eyeballs watching you, and as a player, that always matters. I don't care if it's Thursday. I don't care if it's Tuesday. I don't care, you know, Monday. Those just tend to get you excited, get you juiced up. So, yeah, it's a big game. In the sense that what you want is you want to put your best foot forward. You want to showcase. You want people to go, oh, yeah, they're pretty good. And so it's very important. I had an epiphany about this game.
Ooh.
So BYU's had these kind of slow starts, right? And I figured out why I think they're having slow starts.
Tell me.
So I think it has to do with Jaren Hall being a, like, take care of the football kind of quarterback. So what happens typically is you go into a game, you've studied how the defenses are playing, mm-hmm. or the schemes of the other team, and you get into the game, and now you're kind of seeing it live for the first time. And so it's kind of like, you know, let's hold our finger up in the air to test the temperature or dip our toe in the water. We're not fully in, right? And so you play a little bit more cautious. And what it tends to do is you kind of have those slower starts. And I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing that BYU starts, but if you really want to get out to a fast start, you've got to kind of be more with a sense of urgency. You have to be a little bit up-tempo. You have to be more, we're going to be attacking with what we're doing. And I think the mindset is to be like, don't want to make a mistake here. Let's just kind of test the waters. Let's see how things go. So how do you change that? Couple of things. You want to know?
Well, from last week, I'll say I think the way they tried to remedy it last week was they were like, okay, Wyoming's not going to dictate this. We're going to speed up the offense. Like right. they just started.
So tempo is definitely one thing.
Huge. Okay. Yeah. What else?
It's a massive thing. It's the strangest thing in the world because all of a sudden the defense gets defensive. You know, it's like, how dare you try to do this to us? And what happens is they like, cause they've prepared. Right. And so they go, okay, this personnel group, these formations, these are the defenses we're going to call against that. Cause it's predominantly what they do. But if they don't have a chance to really analyze it, it just happens so quickly. It's like just basic defense, just go out and try to react and sure. try to figure things out.
Yeah.
And I don't know why more teams don't actually go up tempo. I love up tempo. I think it's amazing. It's like part of why I love to watch basketball, right? Because there's always action going on. Now, the other thing that the way to do it is, who's the most important person on the entire offensive team at BYU?
It's always the quarterback, right?
Isn't it Jaren Hall?
Yeah.
Don't you want Jaren Hall to like get it going? And it's like, why not? And there's ways you can do this. And I talk about this ad nauseum. High percentage passes, so it plays into we're taking care of the football. You distribute the ball to a lot of people. You get a lot of people involved in the game, and you put the defense on the defensive. But you also get your quarterback going, okay, I'm into this game a lot sooner. And I just think schools, and I, you know, you want to change the tempo, that's the best way to do it.
Two of Jaren Hall's four touchdowns last week, you had the big bomb. You had the one that was like that out to Braden Cosby. It was a crazy catch, right? But that was relatively short, you know, as compared to the 68-yard touchdown to Keanu Hill. The other two were these, like, rub or, like, kind of quick out, like, little – they were dunks. Like, it was like, you guys aren't going to beat us. I'm going to throw this ball perfectly.
You mean like a dink and dunk throw?
A little dink and dunk throw.
Okay.
But it was like –
Because to me, a dunk is like, you know, boom.
I'm saying a dunk in the sense it was. There was basically no like, the defense didn't have it figured out. They got up to the line quick. They go, boom, we're going in. And it was – a quick out throw here. It was this quick throw over to this side, and it was and they were relatively easy. And I think that those are play call issues with or those are play call situations for A-Rod where they go, we go up here and we're on the 3-yard line. We got an easy little throw out here that no one's going to be able to defend. It's this one right here.
I wonder, because there's another way to do it, and that's to script your first 15 plays. Like in the NFL, that's you just did that.
Yeah.
Week. So you knew what the first almost like you just went down the playlist. And you went into the game, so your mind, you're like super like dialed in to help create that. And we've never asked Jaren that because we have him on our show every week. We should ask him, do you guys script the first 15?
Yeah, or plays? How many they do.
And they'll do it like at the beginning of the game, and then they'll do it coming out at the half.
We'll take a break here. Hey, if you're down in Utah County, swing by. You can enter to win an ultimate tailgating pack here at the Murdoch Hyundai right here in Linden. So if you're headed down to the stadium maybe, or if you're already down this way, it's this ultimate tailgate kit. It's got the chairs, it's got the grill, it's got the cooler, it's got it all set up so you can enter to win that one as well. We've got some Jazz gear that we're giving away too. Ooh, there's some Nike gear there too. Good job, Stone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
Oh my God,
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.